James, as you remember, is the half-brother of Jesus. He is also the pastor in the church in Jerusalem, the Messianic church. But he is writing this letter to all of the believers, any believer out there, any follower of Christ who wants to hear, respond, and receive, and wants to go further in their relationship with Jesus. This is for them. And so he is saying some pretty hard things. And we're not going to soften up as we go through this letter that James wrote. But after all, let me just say this. I mean, who said being a Jesus follower is easy? Did anybody ever say that? As we read in Scripture? No, in fact, Jesus said, you're going to be hated for following after me. I mean, back in the 80s, there was a lot of kids' Christian music that made Christians sing it seem like more fun, you know, bullfrogs and butterflies, you know, and all of that fun stuff. But overall, I will tell you that as followers of Christ, this is an extreme journey. You are on an epic, extreme lifestyle track as you walk forward in following Christ. Come on, you guys are all part of the X Games now. Game on. You're hardcore. It is not easy to be a Christ follower, and James talks that through and lets us know. It's like, hey, this is not easy stuff, but it can be done, and it is worth it. All right? And so we're going to move on with this morning, and we're not even out of chapter 1 yet, and James is still taking us to task as he is speaking forth this word. James 1:22, it's not going to be up on the screens just yet, but I want to just read this to you because this is kind of the overall premise of what I'm about to talk on today. And it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Boom, drop the mic, walk off. That's all I got to say, right? James is already hitting us hard with chapter 1, verse 22. Don't just listen to God's word. Do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. Well, how do we walk this out? I mean, what is it that we need to be stepping into as we are being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word? Well, the first thing we need to be setting ourselves up for and establishing is that we need to be preparing. There needs to be a preparation to receive God's word. And in James 1:19, bouncing back a little bit, this is on the screen, it says this, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. When he's saying, understand this, he's basically saying to all of us, pay attention, listen up, get ready for what I'm about to say is going to maybe knock your socks off. But he says this, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must be all quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Now, we've used these verses for a lot of different things. We'll share them with our kids, right? We'll share them in different scenarios. But when James is writing this, he is talking to a group of people who are meeting in homes with believers and non-believers in the moment, having life together, talking about this new church following the way. Following Jesus, following his message that has turned the Jewish tradition up on edge. Because Jesus has revealed to the Jews a deeper understanding of God's love. And in so doing, it's kind of challenged a few things that people would say and the traditions that were followed. And as he's challenged them, things can get kind of crazy in the midst of a conversation. And so James is telling the people, when you're meeting together, understand this. Be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. James is saying, there's a process to this. Prepare your heart to receive the word. Hear it. Don't just be ready for an argument, but hear it. Have an open ear to what's about to be taught. You know, for me, when I'm listening to things, my mind is going all over the place. And if I can just encourage you, some of you all might need to take notes while you're listening, to be an active listener. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're just standing there or sitting there in the life group or in church or in these moments, and you're just listening, at times your mind can be all over the place, thinking about all sorts of different things. And as you're doing that, you can lose what's being spoken about. And James is saying, be an active listener. First, listen. Be quick to listen. For me, I've recognized that I need to be more of a note taker. I'm not a very good note taker, but when I'm really actively listening, it's important for me to write down notes. And here's what I've discovered, and here's how I've discovered that. So in college, my freshman year, I had to take cellular biology twice. The reason I had to take it twice is the first time, I totally failed the class. Not because the professor was a bad teacher, but because I was a bad listener. So I'm sitting in the class, and it's in this round, dark room. It's right after lunch. The professor, I will say, is a very slow, droning professor who, while he was teaching the class, he would teach from the textbook that he wrote, word for word, with the textbook. The illustrations that he would talk about were the same ones in the book that were on the screen in the hot, dark room right after lunch. I would do this. So my logical freshman brain thought, well, hey, if he's just talking out of the textbook, word for word, why am I even going to class? I can just read the book and come for the test, and I'm golden. Wrong. I totally failed the class. Totally failed the class. And because I didn't listen. I wasn't an active participant in this class. Well, the second time I took the class, it was the complete opposite. The professor was very awake. It was in a very bright and airy room. But the professor was like, he was a caffeine junkie. I don't know what it was with this guy, real thin dude, but man, he would talk a mile a minute. He was one of those professors that would write with one hand and erase with the other as he was talking. And it was like one word and then he'd erasing it. And I'm going, oh dear God, I can't keep up with what he's saying. And I'm just writing this down. I'm trying to pay attention. I'm trying to write this stuff down. But even in writing it, trying to take the notes, I wasn't engaged because I was so focused on trying to just write down what he said. I couldn't even pay attention to internalize the words that were coming out of the guy's mouth. Needless to say, I eked by the second time. Changed my major. Biology was not where I was going to go in my life. So I decided that was not a good thing. But I want to just say that it's important that we are active listeners. And then we are needing to be slow to speak. Why do you think James is saying be slow to speak? He's wanting us to listen to all of the things being shared and not just be trying to plan out our next thing that we want to say, either an argument or to sound smart, and sometimes both. Hold it in. Let it process what's being talked about. James is saying there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be spoken while we're sitting around the table talking about this stuff, talking about what Jesus shared, and you may not get it the first time around, but listen. Don't just try to talk. Don't just try to sound like you know what you're saying. Listen, and then be slow to speak. Resist the urge to have a comeback response before the speaker is even finished with the teaching, because you know you can't take something back once it's been said, right? And the final thing is slow to become angry. As you're preparing to receive God's word, work at being slow to get angry. Folks, got to tell you that back in this time, in as much as it is today, there are things that Jesus says that can get kind of frustrating, that can tick us off, that can hurt our pride. They can go, wow, that's uncomfortable. And for these guys, as we read through the Gospels, man, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law got very angry with what Jesus was talking about and very frustrated. And as they did, they let their anger rise and they let their anger get released. And James is saying, guys, be slow to become angry. Jill and I have talked about this thing that it takes 90 seconds for an emotion to kind of run through you. And so for us, if there is something that we're talking about in a life group, or there's something that we're talking about in a conversation, and we're talking about the word or something is being said, or you're being held accountable by a brother or a sister, and they're pointing out something in the word, and you're going, oh man, you are just poking my buttons right now. Hold off. Look at your watch. Maybe it's 90 seconds. You're going, I gotta breathe for a minute because I'm about to punch you in the face. As we hold back, there is great wisdom in that we are slow to become angry. Because think about this. When you're angry, how is it that you can receive instruction? When you're angry, are you able to really hear what the other person is saying? When you're angry, are you really able to focus on the Word of God and to allow it be a transformational work in your life? Probably not. It's hard when we're angry. When we're angry, the walls come up. When we're frustrated, the walls come up. Not so much when we're happy. But even with that joy, sometimes we'll be laughing so hard we're missing what the person's trying to say. We may not be fully engaged with where they're at. So be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. In all of this, we're responding with being in a state of humility. We're coming with a humble heart. And in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, it says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares about you. Humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. You don't have to do this on your own. When you come with this humble heart, God is going to help you out with this, to increase, to help you walk this through. And in so doing, as we're preparing with this humble heart, we are walking in, we are positioning ourselves to receive God's word. In James 1:21, it says, so get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives. And here's the word again, humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. So in preparing, you're quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. And as you position yourself to receive this word, get rid of the junk that's clouding your mind. Get rid of the stuff that is in your heart that is not of him, so that you can fully receive all that God has for you. Get rid of this old stuff. Walk away from, or repent from, the garbage, from the junk that you were doing before, and start stepping into this new life, this new place that is receptive to what the Lord is saying. So how do we do this from a practical standpoint? Well, guys, if there are things on our phones that we need to remove, let's get rid of it. If there is attitudes or stinking thinking that we have, let's begin to transform. Let's begin to renew our minds. Let's think on things that are worthy, good, righteous. Let's position ourselves in a way that we can grow in the Lord. Let's remove harmful habits. And again, we don't have to remove them on our own. We can also allow the Lord, through his strength, to help us with this. When we are cleaning up our hearts, our minds, our souls, we are positioning ourselves to receive more from the Lord. We act different when we're cleaned up. Have you noticed that? I mean, after you get out of the shower, you're getting ready for a date, or you're getting ready to go out on the town and have a good time. You get out of the shower, you dress up, you put on some nice clothes, you put on the smellies, and you walk out. You change your demeanor than when you were maybe out in the garden all dusty and crudded up. You kind of walk a little taller, you know? I know that when I put on a tux at a wedding or a suit, when I'm preparing for a wedding, I kind of, the shoulders come back a little bit, you know? And I get more pastoral. It's weird. When I put on the suit, it's like all of a sudden, I'm like, bless you. That's why you don't see me. Anyway, there is something to be said about what you wear, how you get yourself ready, how it changes your attitude. And when we are cleaning ourselves up on the inside, when we're removing the junk, when we're deleting the apps, when we're taking care of that stuff from the inside, we're cleaning up internally, and that's going to make a drastic change, transformation in our lives. So when we're doing that, we're running to the Father. Don't hold back. One of the beautiful things about humbly coming before the Lord and allowing Him to work in our lives is that we are going closer to God. In this relationship, we're not just the only ones in pursuit of God. God is pursuing us. There is this coming together in relationship. And I love this when we are looking at the story of the prodigal son. Jesus talks about this in that the prodigal son had left his father and lived this wild worldly life, and he was done holding on to the world so tightly. And he began to let it go. He left the pig slop, he left the pig pen, and he starts traveling home. And as he is traveling home, the father, the story says, the father sees the son, runs out to him, puts a robe around him and a ring on his finger. Do you notice who is doing the transforming of the son? Who is reminding the son whose he is? Is the son going, I'm a child of God, you know, whatever. No, he's going, I am planning on just being a servant in my father's household. That's the mindset of the son. But the father comes and says, you're not a servant, you are my kid. The son left the world behind. He let go of it. He didn't hold on to it too tightly. And he began to pursue the relationship again with the father. He was positioning himself to a deeper relationship. And in James 4:8, which we're not going to get too much into James 4, because that's in a few weeks. But hear this, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Other versions say that draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. James is going, look, let go of this world stuff. Let go. It's not going to sustain. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. There is something that will happen when you do this. Transformation takes place when you do this. You have two choices to make. You can arrogantly resist the transforming word of God, or you can humbly accept it and let it change you. Now you might say, well, can I just be like, meh, whatever? No, that's resisting. That's simply resisting. You either don't take it or you do take it. You accept the word or you reject the word. And the word is transformational. And the word makes you into something beautiful. God wants to do this in your life. Are you willing, as you are prepared and positioned, to do something for the Lord? Because here we go. The final thing here is acting in accord with God's word. And here's where the rubber meets the road. You've heard it. You've listened. You've been silent. You didn't get angry. You got rid of all the junk. And so here we go. But don't just listen to the word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. No longer can you be in a place when the word has been spoken, when you have been writing active notes and you're listening. No longer can you be in a place of saying, ignorance is bliss. Now you've heard what God is calling you out to do. See, this whole letter is how we are to respond to walking out a Christ-like life. James is saying, not to the unbeliever, or not even to somebody who is just toying with the idea of following Christ. No, he's hitting it hard to the believer, saying, you guys, You love Jesus, right? Yeah. You follow Jesus, right? Yeah. Then do what he's telling you to do. Ah, whoa. You sure about that? You see, James is calling us to the carpet. He's saying, you guys, let's get after this. Let's do it. We can't say that ignorance is bliss anymore. We're accountable for what we're supposed to do. Remember, we're talking about being followers of Jesus. When we look in a mirror, when you look in a mirror, do you forget what you look like? When you look in a mirror, why do you do it? Are you there just to go like, weird guy? And we'll walk away? Are you there because you're getting ready? Are you there because you're trying to see if that crazy hair is, you know, you need to be plucked? Or you know, that you've got more gray? Whatever it is that you're checking out, it doesn't matter. It's like you're looking at all of this stuff. You're going, hey, I'm seeing this. And if you feel like you need to make some changes, you'll make some changes. You'll put an action to what you're seeing on there. You're not going to forget what you look like. The same thing is true. What James is saying for us is going, hey, quit forgetting or acting like you're forgetting about what you're reading or hearing, but do it. Back in this day, back in James's time, very few people could read. Most of the people would be learning by listening. And so for all of us that are great readers, a lot of, you know, most of America can read. Well, the thing is that back then it was a very auditory learning environment. They would be sharing by speaking, singing, saying, reciting all of these verses all the time. So somebody would probably be reading into this life group, into this home group, reading the letter, and the rest of the people would be listening to what was being said. And so for them, this is why James is saying, don't just listen, don't be hearers, but be doers. Don't just listen and let it go out the other ear. Do something. Be active. The word of God has power to transform you. And as you hear it, it can do a great and awesome work in you. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our inmost thoughts and desires. The word, would you allow it to transform your heart? Would you allow it to activate something in you? You know, when we come and we draw closer to the Lord, it's interesting to me when I have conversations with people, when they first come to Christ, you know, a lot of people are fearful that they have to give up everything when they come to know the Lord and they come to have a relationship with Jesus. They're like, man, now I got to give up everything. And it may feel like a deterrent to some because they like their lifestyle. And the interesting thing for me when I look at and have conversations with people who come to Christ, those that are honest and have a heartfelt transformation with the Lord, they say, you know, Mark, when I first started, I was fearful that I was going to lose these kinds of things in my life. But the longer I spent with Jesus, the more I realized that those things in my life, I actually just didn't desire them anymore. There was literally no work that was done on a hard-pressed, mental hardship type of a thing. It just went away. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, that's the work of the Lord in your life. That's the transformation that you're in because of the Holy Spirit, because the word is in you, because you are drawing near to him. He is drawing near to you. The old stuff is just falling off of you. You are a new creation. Allow it to continue to transform you. Allow the word to do that. Be a doer, not a hearer. To be a doer of the word means to consciously permit its transforming, to be a doer of the word means to consciously permit its transforming force to change your thoughts, attitudes, deeds, speech, your reactions to situations and individuals. Would you allow the word to do that? Would you become an active doer in the word? A doer for the Lord. I love the old Nike expression, amazing marketers. We're still remembering this today. Just do it. Just do it. Would you allow the Lord to work in your heart today? Would you hear it and respond? You have prepared your heart You have positioned yourself to receive. Now go and do. Do it. And I love what the end of this in verse 25 says. Look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free. Talking about the mirror. Look carefully. Look in. Study it. Dig into that perfect law that sets you free, that transforms your life, that moves you from one way to another way, that sets you up in an amazing way. Look into that. And then do what it says. And don't forget it. And what happens? God blesses you. God blesses you. As you walk this out, God blesses you. I want to invite the worship team to come back up as we finish with this today. James is a hard book, a hard letter. It's tough to read sometimes because I think for many of us, we've grown accustomed to a certain way of living. And so James, in his being a follower, a true follower of Christ, is holding us accountable on how we are to respond, to live, to move in our lives. And I want to just challenge all of us today, including myself, to not just read this or not just to come, but to and to engage in fellowship, but to take these words seriously, to take them to heart and to go, God, what are you truly speaking to me today? How am I to respond to this? And I would just encourage you, position yourself, prepare your heart and position yourself to receive, and then let the Lord work in your heart and get after it. Experience the blessings that God has for you and allow his word to set you free, because he will. He will change and transform all that you are. And it started because Jesus died on a cross for all of us and rose again. And because of that act, we have a reconciled relationship, an opportunity to have a reconciled relationship with the Father. I said it last week. Heaven is not the goal. When Jesus died on the cross, heaven was not the goal for the believer. The goal is relationship with the Father forever. The goal is relationship with the Father forever. So in this today, we're about ready to have communion. And I want to just invite you to remember that as we reflect on this today. For those of you that have prayed and asked Jesus into your life and accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you're acknowledging the fact that you are saying, yes, I believe that Jesus died on that cross for me. Hey, by the way, if you don't have a communion cup, just put your hand up and we'll get one to you. We'll get them around to you guys. Leave them up until you get one. But the thing is that Jesus in this changed the world for all mankind. And that's why we celebrate today, is because of what he did for us. So this morning, as we dig into this, I want to just invite you to pull out that wafer. Scripture talks about, and Jesus said, that when he took this bread and he passed it around to his disciples, he said, this bread, which is broken for you, this is my body. This represents my body. And they didn't know what was going on. But he was about to be broken, bruised, spat upon, beaten, mocked, ridiculed. And he was saying, this is what I'm going to do for you. So when you gather to take this bread, to break it, remember, remember, remember what I did. May you never take it for granted what Jesus did for you when he went to the cross. So let me pray for this, and then we'll eat. God, I thank you for allowing your son to be the sacrifice for us. Jesus, thank you for being willing to do this. Thank you. Thank you for taking our place. We didn't deserve it, but your love is so great. May it be that in that love that we experience as we reflect on it and as we reflect on your word, may it be transformational in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Just take and eat. And just like the bread at this Last Supper right before Jesus was to be crucified, he took the cup and he passed the cup around to his disciples. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." New covenant. What's this? The old covenant that was established with God and Abraham was to say, "Abraham, you are my chosen people, and I will be with you." And with this new covenant, when Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, he established this new covenant where all of mankind, all humanity, now has opportunity to be under the covering of God, to be his kids. Not just the Jews, but all who follow the Lord. And so this is an amazing thing that we celebrate, this new covenant, because of Jesus' sacrifice. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your family, to being a part of the kingdom of God. I know that this is bigger than we could possibly imagine or fathom, but Lord, we are so grateful to this new relationship that we have because of Jesus' death and resurrection from the cross. We praise you and give you glory in your name. Amen. Just take a drink. Would you stand with me? What a good day. Hey, I'm not apologizing for the hard of the word. It's tough sometimes. But my prayer for all of us is that as we are reflecting on the word, and as we are digging into James deeper, my prayer and hope is that this is something that stirs in you. It's kind of like a trainer or a coach. And he's coming to you and you are like, "Man, I want to get healthy. I want to get in shape. I want to be a better ball player or a better athlete or a better gymnast or a better dancer. I want to improve on my life. I want to eat better." And this coach comes to you, or this trainer comes to you and says, "All right, well, in order for you to get after it, you need to make some changes in your life. Are you ready?" The challenge is out there for you today. Are you ready? The results are phenomenal. You're going to have a God bod. Tell you what, nothing better. That was cheesy, I know. But guys, I got to encourage you with this, is that Jesus is calling us to greater things. James is challenging us to those greater things. Will you step into it? And will you be a hearer and receive it, get after it, and do it? Amen. Well, hey, I want to just invite the elders and the prayer team to come forward. If you want to get prayer for anything this morning, please come up and get prayed for. Today, this morning, if you are taking communion or you were reflecting on what we've talked about and you are going, "Man, I need Jesus in my life. I want relationship with the Lord. I want to serve him, or I want to know what the first step is in this relationship with Jesus. If that's where you're at today, I want to also invite you to come forward, talk with one of our elders, our prayer team, and they would like to just get you set up going in the right direction with this new relationship, this new epic adventure of following Jesus. And with that, guys, let's praise the Lord together and worship him wholeheartedly.